Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What would you do after a heartbreaking calamity? Susie Yanson Jennings desired to serve God and her community after her husband's tragic death. She heard God's call to give blankets to the homeless in downtown Dallas in November of 1993. Hailed the blanket lady, her modest beginnings were the genesis of Operation Care International. Today, thousands upon thousands are impacted all over the United States and around the world, starting with one blanket. Today, we pause at the beginning of our program to think about the blanket of God. The blanket of God's love, the blanket of the gospel that covers you, dear friend, that covers Suzanne and Susie, myself. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary when Jesus was crucified on our behalf because of your sins and mine. Christ was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, and the living Christ, who has touched Susie Jennings, is here to touch your heart as well. With the blanket of his love, through many blankets, even blankets today and more in the ministry OCI, Operation Care International, that distributes care and love in Jesus' name. Susie Jennings is the founder and president of Operation Care International. She's a registered nurse by profession. She stepped out in faith and obedience to God's calling, leading to her resignation from a supervisory position at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas. In January 2011, she became a full-time missionary. She's with us today. Susie, welcome to our show.
Welcome. I'm so happy to be a part of your family. Thank you.
Susie, where did you grow up?
In the Philippines.
Okay, what part? What part of the Philippines?
Negros Occidental. It's Visayas. It's in the middle part of the Philippines.
Okay. Now, what was it like for you growing up there in the Philippines?
Well, I was raised by a Christian mom. My dad was not a Christian, but he would go to church, and he became a Christian a lot later in life. And my mother would take us to church and Sunday school. And so I was really raised by a godly and prayerful mom. And my mother, when I was a young girl, used to feed the homeless in our kitchen in the Philippines. Mm. I was probably a young girl, like 10 years old, and I did not like that at all because I thought the homeless were just dirty and they were kind of just a pest of the society, and that they ate my food, they occupied my space. So I grew up not liking any homeless people.
Mm. Oh, Susie, I'm sorry. I'm just chuckling over here.
So what brought you to America?
Baylor Hospital in Dallas. They hired me while I was in the Philippines as a nurse. So I flew to America as a nurse at Baylor Hospital in Dallas.
You mentioned your mother. It seems like she was quite influential on you in your growing up years.
Yes.
You mentioned about her Christian faith. How about you, Susie? Your faith. How did your faith grow in relation to Christ?
Well, I was saved when I was 10 years old. There was a preaching. My pastor at that time was preaching, and I don't know. I know it was the Holy Spirit what got into me. I was just so moved by his preaching, and he was actually my godfather, and he was the pastor of our church. So I went forward, and I was baptized. After that, I accepted Christ that day, and then the pastor baptized me in a river after probably a week later, together with other Christians. And I just remembered as soon as, you know, after I was baptized, when I look at the sky, I just felt like the sky just parted, like the sky parted, like probably God was looking down and my life was changed. I promised God on that day, I said, I really would be a good girl from now on. And I remember that my brother had a car accident, a motorcycle accident. On that day, his car, his motorcycle went under a car, a big car. And that was a very trying time on the day of my baptism. God tested me, and I remembered praying to God that I would be a really good girl and I would help what I can in the house while my mother was tending to my brother in the hospital.
You know, you mentioned earlier about the homeless people that your mom would bring into the home and your feelings about them. You were quite open. I mean, we chuckled a little bit, but this is quite a serious matter in the sense that the Lord was preparing you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I also think that it gives, well, maybe hope in a way, could be a way of describing it. The hope in the sense that we can change the initial perceptions we have of certain situations or of people. In Christ, those things can change over the course of time. It certainly has been a change for you. But what were the, what would you say, Susie, or how would you describe the difference that Jesus has made in your life from the Philippines and now you go to Baylor University Medical Center as a nurse and the things that began to take place after that in preparation for what you're doing today?
Well, I think since I was a little girl, I just loved the Lord so much. So growing up, my thing was just going to school and going to church and joining the choir and helping Sunday school. So my life had been that way. And then coming to America, since I was a little girl, I wanted to become a missionary nurse to Africa and India. But that did not happen. I mean, God called me in a different ministry for the homeless, but in the long run, at the end, he rerouted me to Africa and India and impacted 6,000 children in Africa and 2,000 in India. So if I was just a missionary, it would impact only a few, few people, not thousands. See how perfect God is. Yeah, I mean, he will not give you what you really prayed for sometimes because he has a better plan, a bigger plan. If you just keep on trusting and believing. So my faith, I think, was also built because of my mother's prayerful life. I remember growing up in the Philippines, my mom would pray for her 9 children by name, kneeling down every night and in the morning. So I saw that every night. So that probably was ingrained in my heart to be prayerful. And to she told me, you always just keep your trust in God. God is always going to be with you wherever you go.
A name in the Southern Baptist world, W.A. Criswell, will resound by many in one of the leading figures with the Southern Baptist Convention. First Baptist Church, Dallas, 1982. Within months of arriving in the United States from the Philippines, Susie, you went to Dr. Criswell's church. How influential was Dr. Criswell and the ministry of First Baptist in your spiritual development?
Oh, it was very big. Dr. Criswell was really an incredible pastor. He accepted me just the way I am, and regardless of what color, creed, he did not, you know, he wasn't prejudiced or partial. He loved people, and I think the love that he's shown me and the church have kind of adopted me, that also built my faith in Christ, that God will always be with me and he will provide. Mm-hmm. And so his teaching also helped me tremendously in my growth in the Lord.
Well, the Lord takes Susie Jennings from the Philippines. She has accepted Christ. She still remembers a space in her life at a certain point where her outlook on homeless people was not at a very high point. But the Lord was going to do a work in her life that has, to this day and going forward, impacted and will impact, by God's grace, thousands and thousands more. When we come back from our break, well, a moment of tragedy. You ever experience something that you never really saw coming? Certainly the way that things turn out. The shock of hearing news. The inner turmoil that takes place when you realize some details of what transpired. Can God bring someone back? Can there be hope in the midst of agonizing pain and reality? Well, Susie Jennings will, I think, testify that indeed we serve a God of the resurrection. She'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
The road of desperate life, namelessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dr. Jerry Johnson, President and CEO of National Religious Broadcasters, NRB, says this. He says, Susie Jennings' life shows what God can do through one person, even if they have experienced painful tragedy. Susie's ministry is a truthful illustration that where God guides, God provides. You can find out more about Susie Jennings, and her ministry, Operation Care International, at operationcareinternational.org. Again, operationcareinternational.org. Hey, perhaps you're tuning in right now, or maybe you caught the tail end of our last segment. Look, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Listen to it, share it with a family member or a friend. I think it'd be a great way of reaching someone who God will place on your heart. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this program in its entirety as a gift. It's free for you, dear friend. Susie, what were the circumstances that eventually led you to begin giving blankets away? Leaning in now with the story of what took place when we talk about this tragedy in your life.
Well, it really started, this giving away blankets started after the Lord spoke to my heart one day, leaving the First Baptist Church, going home. But prior to that, there was an incident in my life that, you know, directed me to this incident about this blanket, how the Lord spoke to me about giving away blankets. My husband of 9 years, David Jennings, disappeared from our home March 9, 1993, which is about 25 years ago. He was suffering from a chemical imbalance called serotonin deficiency. So he got severe depression, and he disappeared. And for a whole month, I did not know where David was. So I would go to the word of the Lord, and the Psalms would give me encouragement. And Psalms 30, verse 5 said, "Weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning." And through that verse, the Lord gave me hope that there would be joy. On the 30th day, I got a visitor, detective, who came to my house and said they found the car of David in Oklahoma, which is the next state in Texas. We live near Dallas. And he told me that they found the car, but they did not find David. So we went to Oklahoma the next day, tried to locate David. And at 12 noon, exactly 12 noon, I heard a gunshot fired on the air. And we were trying to locate David, and I knew in my heart that was a signal. So I told my pastor, I said, "I think that's a signal." And he said, "What signal?" We did not plan of any signal. And I said, "Well, I knew it's a signal." So we went there, and then the guy, the police, was running from the hilltop, shouting, and he said, "I found a body. I found him. I found him." And I think that's him. After he said that, I just thought that the whole world, the sky came down on my shoulder. And it was so just sad. And so we went to where he found the body, but I could not get near because there was a little creek, a body of water that God placed in between me and David, so I could not get near him because he had been dead for, we believe he had been dead for 30 days. We believe he committed suicide on the same day when he left our home on March 9th. And that was April 8th already. So that was 30 days. So he had been dead for 30 days. And I was in shock. I was so mad at David. I was not mad at God, but I was mad at David. And I just remembered I fell on the ground and I was screaming. I said, "Why, David, why?" Because we were supposed to grow old together. And he left me. And so I was mad at David, but not at God. And I just remembered I went on the top of the hill and I screamed and I just said, "Lord, give me strength." And I remembered like an electric voltage that came to my toes and it traveled from my toes to my legs out of my mouth. And after that, I felt so much peace. And I felt like when my pastor said, "Let's go," I just felt like there were two hands that lifted me off the ground. And so I was not walking on the ground. Like I was like 1 foot above ground. It was so peaceful walking. And I felt like the thing that came out of my mouth, that was probably my anxiety, my fear, anger, and all those negative feelings. Because I screamed to God, "Give me strength." And he gave it to me immediately. We buried David a day before Easter, and Easter is coming up. We buried him a day before Easter, and he was supposed to sing in our church, First Baptist, chapel there, and he was supposed to sing. The title of his song was Heaven. And then the pastor was saying in the funeral, he said, well, I think David is singing his song with the Lord. Because David was saved when he was a little boy. He accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I believe it was an illness that killed him, just like cancer will kill you. So David's illness, chemical imbalance called serotonin deficiency, that was the one that, you know, his imbalance was the his illness that killed him. And 3 days after we buried David, I had my birthday. It was a very sad birthday. Well, God gave me friends to come and comforted me. And then 3 months later, I was in a car accident, so I could not walk. I became disabled for 2 months. And then 2 months later, when I started walking, I was baking a cake. And 30 feet from me, I saw a lot of policemen in my neighbor's, near my neighbor's, in my fence with my neighbor. And then I went outside and I asked the police, I said, what's going on? And they said, your neighbor committed suicide. See, David committed suicide. When we found his body, you know, he committed suicide. He shot his head and this neighbor shot his heart 30 feet from me. And that's when I got mad at God. I questioned him why. So I was very mad. And that was on September 7, 1993. And then that night, God gave me a dream. In my dream, I was knocking at my neighbor's doors, telling them about Jesus. And the next day I woke up, I decided to choose joy. Because I remember the verse in Psalms 30, verse 5, that God gave me. When David was missing for 30 days, I would seek refuge in the word of God, in Psalms, and the Psalms will come to life. The words of the Lord will come to life. And that verse carried me. Psalms 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. So I decided to choose joy. I decided not to be angry with God anymore. I decided I'm going to serve the Lord. So I woke up, and then I asked God this question, which I do not recommend to your audience to do, because this is the question. This was the question. I said, Lord, what can I do for you? Do not ask God what can you do for him if you're not prepared. It's going to take you out of your comfort zone that you don't even want to go. Because 3 weeks later, after that question, I was driving from the church, going home Sunday, 12 noon, with my mother sitting next to me. Then I heard a voice in my heart that said, look at your left side. And then I looked. I saw about 100 men and women living under the bridge, cardboard boxes as their home. Trash bags as windows. That was October of 1993. It was kind of cool. And so the air, you know, was cool. And I could see these trash bags just, you know, swinging in the cardboard box. And then the voice said, you're going to go there in person. And then my response was, no, not me. I'm not going. I said, those are crazy and homeless, and they're violent, they're dirty, and they're going to kill me. I'm not going. And then the voice said, you are the one who asked me, what can you do for me? Right then, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. He reminded me of Moses, when God told Moses to go to Egypt and get his people out. And Moses said, no, I'm not going. I could not speak. I was the same way. I said, no, I'm not going. Those are crazy people. And after God spoke, when he said, you were the one who asked me, I was convicted right there. I was changed. And I said, oh, God, forgive me. I am going. What could I take to these needy people? And then the voice said, blanket. So the next day, I went to Baylor Hospital, where I was supervisor. And then I asked $5 from all doctors and nurses I could find. Telling them I needed to help the homeless under the bridge for Thanksgiving in November, because that was October already. Yeah, make long story short, they started giving me money, and then the next month, a Sunday before Thanksgiving, we went under the bridge and gave away blankets and shared Jesus. Before we gave away the blanket, we shared the greatest gift, who was Jesus. So we gave them a gift, but we gave them the greatest gift also. So you could picture under the bridge, one-on-one, two people, one with a blanket blankets under their armpits, and then the homeless, and it was a lot of people under the bridge sharing Christ. And we did it again on December, the next month, before Christmas, and we brought an evangelist who stood on top of the pickup truck preaching Jesus with lots of blankets around him, and then the homeless were surrounding the pickup truck, and we shared Christ under the bridge again. And then for 8 years, I became the blanket lady of Dallas, because that's what I did. Every Saturday, I gave away blankets, and I would buy blankets. Every Walmart that you could find, I would buy all their blankets, because people would give me money with my name on it, so they trusted me. So for 8 years, I did it with my mother, and until 2001, and I became very tired, because that was all my life, blankets. So they called me Blanket Lady, and on the 2001, I told God, I said, Lord, I cannot do this anymore. I'm pretty tired. And then the Lord spoke in my spirit. He said, you're going to become a nonprofit. I said, okay, how do we do that? I'm not a business person. I'm a nurse. And I don't even know how to balance checkbook. My late husband used to balance checkbook. And now you're calling me? But then when God gives a vision, he gives provision. Because the next week, my best friend called and she said, Susie, why don't you become a nonprofit? My husband will set you up. So that's really how it started. Operation Care became a nonprofit. We sat down, and me and my best friend and the pastor's wife, three clueless women, started Operation Care. We didn't know what we were doing. I just knew God told me to do it. So I just obeyed, not knowing what we were doing.
You're listening to.
And that's how it started.
You're listening to Susie Yanson Jennings, Susie Y. Jennings. Susie's a registered nurse. She's the author of the book 31 Days of Mountaintop Miracles, One Woman's Legacy of Unconditional Obedience. Susie, what a privilege it is to hear you share the grace that God has given you. Well, you know what? We want to hear more. When we come back from our break, yes, we will spend more time listening to and enjoying the incredible story of Susie Jennings. Operation Care, well, their mission statement is that Operation Care International exists to connect impoverished children and the homeless to Jesus Christ by providing for their physical needs through God's provisions both at home and abroad. It started with blankets, and we're listening to the Blanket Lady and how God put an organization together, a nonprofit that has international impact, OperationCareInternational.org. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dr. O.S. Hawkins, President, CEO of Guidestone Financial Resources, says Susie Jennings is the real deal. And a miracle in and of herself. Now take this 31-day journey with her, and you will be challenged to see what God can do with one person. You, who is totally sold out to Him. Read it and reap. 31 days of mountaintop miracles. One woman's legacy of unconditional obedience by Susie Jennings. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Thanks for joining us today. You can find out more about Operation Care International at operationcareinternational.org.
And may I tell our listeners, it's 31 just precious nuggets of miracles. I've read the book. I highly recommend it. And she gives God all the glory.
Susie, someone wants to get the book. How can they go ahead and get it?
Go to Amazon.com. Or they could go also on a website and we could send them the book. If they could not go to Amazon, they could go to our website.
Okay.
But Amazon has it.
Okay.
Does Barnes & Noble have it, Susie?
I'm not sure. Our Barnes & Noble here, I think, but I'm not sure in other areas.
Okay, Amazon.com or OperationCareInternational.org can get a hold of this book by Susie Jennings. Susie, so Operation Care International got started. Suzanne and I were chuckling because of the humor and yet the sincerity in the way that you're explaining the process of what God did. Describe some of the events that are held by OCI each year.
Okay, well, remember we became a blanket ministry first. So we started doing that in the streets, and then it became 1,000 blankets. We started in 2001 as a nonprofit. We called it Birthday Bash for Jesus. So the idea of this birthday bash started really since the beginning with a blanket, and then after that, in 2001, God gave us a vision. Me and together with my chairman of the board at that time, Ron Bat, God gave us a vision of having a birthday party wherein for one day the homeless probably would not have to worry about where to get their food. If they could just sit down and rest for one day, rest from their weary travel of walking aimlessly all day. And if they could just sit down, then we could feed them, and then we could have music, and then we could have some probably medical help assistance, and then wash their feet and serve them. And we could do that on a Christmas, a Saturday before Christmas, and then celebrate Jesus' party, birthday. Because remember in the Bible when it said, go and call the lame and the poor, because the rich will not come to my party. So we kind of, you know, think, oh, we're going to make that Jesus' birthday party where we're going to invite the poor and the impoverished children and the homeless, the prostitutes, the destitute, the outcast, get them to one area and share them Jesus and the love of Christ, that they too will find hope in Christ. And that would be a great gift to the baby Jesus, you know. Souls that would be won because God gave us the greatest gift. What in return are we giving him back? give our service. And that's how it started. We started having this huge birthday party for Jesus without any funding, no money. We did not know what we were doing. And so we said, okay, we're going to put this in the homeless shelter. Well, that was not what God's plan was. That was in 2004. In June of 2004, the same voice who told me to go under the bridge, the same voice who woke me up, you know, and would speak to me, told me, said, your party in the homeless shelter will not be in the homeless shelter. Going to be happening at the Dallas Convention Center. This was in 2004 of June. And I said, okay, how do we do that? Well, God gave me instructions to call, first to call different seminaries, Christian seminaries, and then call churches, and then call the hospitals for medical team. And that's how really we started doing this. So I called all these places that God directed me to call, and they partnered with us. But still, remember, we didn't have any money. So a month before the event, we planned the big party of Jesus at the convention center with no funding, no money. 30 days before the actual event, in November 18, 2004, I remembered, I woke up, and then I told the Lord, I knelt at the foot of my bed. I said, Lord Jesus, gonna be your birthday 30 days from now. We have the convention center already. We told them that we're going to rent it. And the best part was they forgot to ask us for money. It's supposed to be fully paid 60 days before the event. The Lord allowed them to forget. So they didn't ask us for any money. So 30 days, we only have $20 in the bank. That was $20 given by a little boy who broke his piggy bank when he knew that we will have this party. So he broke his piggy bank and gave it to his mother. He said, Mama, give this to the homeless for their party. That was our two fish and five loaves. That was the only money we have. But we believe we were called to do this party. And so I remember I woke up and then I knelt at the foot of my bed. I said, Lord Jesus, it's going to be your birthday, but we don't have any money. We only have $20 in the bank. So your name is at stake. That was the prayer. And then I went to work. I was a nurse supervisor in the hospital. I was evening shift supervisor. At 8 p.m., I got a phone call from my friend who was in charge of fundraising. And then she said, Susie, this morning I went to my friend. I told her we're trying to have this party, big party for the homeless, and we're expecting about 10,000 people, because that was the number I told her, because that's what the Lord put in my heart, that there will be 10,000 people. So she said, I went to my friend. Her name is Dottie. And I told her we needed money because we only have $20 in the bank. We don't have any money to buy sleeping bags, blankets, coats, shoes, food, rental, medical supplies, toys, and renting of buses to get the homeless all over the city to get to the convention center. So she said, I went to my friend this morning. I asked her if she could help us. And she said, well, that's interesting because I went to the hospital, but before I went to the hospital, I wanted to give money to charity. So how much do you need for you to have this birthday party at the convention center? So my friend Diane said, we need $100,000 right now just to be able to pull this through so we could order the shoes and sleeping bags and all, you know, toys early on. And then the lady, Dottie, responded that that's truly incredible. Because that's exactly the amount I want to give. So I'm going to write you a $100,000 check. So the next day, she gave it $100,000. And that was the beginning of the largest birthday party for Jesus in America. And guess how many people came on that first event?
How many people?
10,000. 8,500 homeless and poor. And then 1,500 volunteers coming from 122 churches all over the Metroplex with no media. We did not tell the media because we were afraid that people that are not homeless will come and get the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly 10,000 came. So that was the beginning of this amazing event. So now we are 15th year going, and the largest number who came had been 21,000 people in one day.
Mm.
So last December, we have 12,000 guests plus 3,200 volunteers. And the best part of that was 1,382 accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that was almost tripled from the number of the other year. We also served 13,363 meals for lunch, but we also served breakfast. So we figured it was almost probably 20,000 meals in one day. And we have 3,200 volunteers and thousands of clothes and shoes were given away, Bibles. And also we have 1,000 homeless veterans who came, and that doubled of last year's guests. And also we have a total of 6,000 children. It's a 50% increase from last year. Also, and so... we have also haircuts and makeover, and there's a lot of services. The first thing that happened when the homeless get inside, the homeless veterans go first, and then we welcome them with high fives, and then we take them to evangelism area. After that, they go to the foot washing where we wash their feet, put on socks and shoes. Then they go to coats, sleeping bags, blankets, personal care items, eyeglasses, haircuts, makeover, food, praise and worship, flu shots, eyeglasses, dentists. Then they go to an area where they could probably find help, like resources with jobs and housing and lawyers.
Susie, excuse me real quick, and also how you connect them with their families. Do we need to go to a break, Danny?
That's the best part. Is the last part is the operation called Home, where they call their families.
Susie, we're listening to a full service experience that, God started by whispering or speaking to Susie Jennings to turn left, look what's under the bridge. And there were 100 people. For 8 years, she was the blanket lady going to Walmart and emptying those shelves, people just giving her checks and... And it becomes a nonprofit organization. The first year, this big event, the 10,000 homeless, launched with a gift, just 30 days out, $100,000. The Lord prepared it all. We're listening to miracle after miracle, a testimony of Susie Jennings. Her book, 31 Days of Mountaintop Miracles. When we come back from our break, more from Susie. Perhaps today, as you're thinking about your situation, maybe the challenges that you face in your life, could it be that the Lord uses a moment like this to lift you out of the despair that you feel? I know everyone who's in it. I've been where you are. We're in the depths of despair. We wonder how we're going to get out, and perhaps the Lord pulls us out by looking at the needs around us, preparing us to help meet those needs in His name. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guests.
Susie
Jennings taught preschoolers for 20 years at her church. Then Operation Care International, which has grown to encompass multiple ministries and major events each year in Dallas, Texas, as well as missions to the homeless and destitute children in nations around the world, Susie Jennings continues to be a conduit of God's blessing, really a visionary that God speaks to, and through her willing and obedient heart, faithfully following the Lord, thousands upon thousands have come to volunteer to literally reach tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and beyond, not only in America, but all over the world. OperationCareInternational.org. That's how you can find out more about Susie Jennings. And that's also how you can get the book, 31 Days of Mountaintop Miracles, OperationCareInternational.org.
Susie, I want our listeners again to just sink into your truth of if God gives the vision, he gives the provision. And so tell us now, how many different countries are you operating in now? And then could you share for our listeners December 19th, 2020?
Yes. Also, when I was telling you about our Christmas event in Dallas, it's not only for the homeless, but also for the poor, especially impoverished children. Mm-hmm. So they're included. And so the children's area have a zip line and rock wall climbing and pony rides, petting zoo, face painting, balloon artists, backpacks, foot washing, entertainment and food and toys and massive bounce houses and and families go there, and including parents were also given gifts.
Susie, let me just step in real quick here. You've mentioned a number of times, and I want you to explain this to us. You mentioned foot washings.
Yes.
Foot washing. What is the significance of foot washings, and how have people responded to that, both washing as well as those receiving the foot washing?
Well, foot washing was the in the beginning, that was our vision, to wash the feet of the homeless. That was the last thing that Jesus did before he went to the cross. So our values for Operation Care is CSI, compassion, servanthood, and integrity. So that will emulate Christ, and the servanthood part is the foot washing. And that's, you're washing the dirtiest, stinkiest, smelliest feet in the world, and that's our sins, dirty, stinky, smelly, and Jesus is still going to wash it. So we're trying to emulate who Christ is to the people, you know. And that's why the trademark of Operation Care is foot washing, and the heart is evangelism and prayer. So that those two things go hand in hand wherever we go around the world. So we are now in Philippines, India, Africa, Taiwan, China, Indonesia, Cambodia, Israel, Jordan, Brazil, Nepal, serving 28,000 children. We have a school in Africa, a medical clinic in Cambodia for orphans, another school near Thailand, border of Thailand and Cambodia. Then we're having partnership with another school in Israel, in Ariel, and that's partnership with the government over there. And so that's what we do. And now God has given us an amazing vision. We're in the December 19, 2020. This birthday party for Jesus will be in 50 states and 200 cities, plus 200 cities, and 50 capitals, plus 200 cities, and over 200 nations all over the world. We're in one day, there will be a global birthday celebration of Jesus Christ, December 19, 2020. And then there will be one day millionaires, H-E-I-R-S, wherein there will be crusades also in the evening, culminate the birthday party of Jesus. So there will be millions that will be saved in one day. There will be a global evangelism wherein it's all about sharing Christ and taking care of the poor and the homeless, giving them hope and resources, taking care of your community. And that will be globally the same date, regardless of time zone. It's going to happen December 19th. So what we want is we need people to adopt the project, and it's going to be in our website. And we're going to prepare, right now we're in the process of preparing a video, a 15-second, 30- and 60-second TV ad commercial. And also we're developing a book, a manual of how to do it, so they could copy it all over America. And in the international part, we would just like them to do the foot washing and evangelism of children, 2020 children, and that we would like donors to help us make this happen by donating so we could help other countries that are poor.
Susie, why do you consider Romans 8? Well, maybe. Romans 8:28. Yeah, why is that your guiding principle for ministry?
Because, and we know all things work together. If not for, I know Satan meant it for bad, but the Lord turned it for good for me. So if we always look into a positive, and even in spite of your sorrows and pain, just keep on trusting and believing and praising God, because the Bible said, in everything give thanks. So I praise God for allowing me to go through my sorrows and pains, because it made me a better person. If not for the death of my husband, there will be no ministry. Mm-hmm. So for the widows there and the people that are hurting, just ask God, how could you turn that pain into joy? How could you turn that tragedy into triumph? For mm-hmm. me, I ask God, what can I do for you? But also be prepared, because it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. And that's what I did. But unconditional obedience, the one that carried me, also that I had to just obey God, whatever that is. So in my book, there are three things, you know, in my life. Unconditional obedience, number one, he told me to go under the bridge, which I did. Number two, he told me to become homeless. So I live in the streets with homeless people for a day, and that opened my eyes for the plight of the homeless more. It was very scary. So now I understand that they're scared to death of their lives at night. And number three, he told me to leave my six-figure income as a nurse supervisor and leave it with nothing. So now it's just by faith, trusting moment by moment, daily, where the money would come to support this ministry. So we are in dire need of support of the people to carry on the vision right now, because we just have moved to a new office. We were in my house for 16 years. Just trusting God, so he did that. Now we have an office with 7 rooms that we need to continue to, you know, to be in here. So the ministry is growing.
And also, Susie, I want to remind our listeners of your earlier statement that God gave you the grace to choose joy. You made that choice, and you chose joy thanks to, was it Psalm 35? 30 verse 5. Yeah.
Susie, what would you say to someone right now going through a very difficult time?
Well, I to me, it was the faith of my mother that was ingrained in me, and the prayer of my mother. So just go back to the Word and claim that Word, and go and just tell the Lord, when you read the Word, give it back to Him and remind Him. It doesn't need reminder, but if you give it back to Him, you just say, Lord, remember, this is written, this is your word. You said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I would tell him, I said, Lord, you know, I'm a widow. The Bible said, Isaiah 65, 54:5 that said, you know, the widow, that God is my husband. So I will remind God. I said, Lord, you're my husband. You know, you better take care of me. He said, I will never leave you, so you have to take care of me. So I just cling to those words. That's all I. That's all my life is clinging and be obedient to the Lord. So just be obedient to the word and to the Lord. And regardless of what happened, he will always be there for you. And in night of anguish, God is always there.
Susie, we have about a minute remaining. Could you lead us in a prayer? Pray for our dear friend right now who's going through that very challenging moment.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're the author and finisher of our faith. I pray for this person, Lord, who is suffering right now. I pray, Father, that the joy of the Lord will be the strength of this person. And thank you for your words, because your words said, delight yourself in the Lord. He will grant the desires of your heart. Thank you, Lord, because our desire right now is to just bring glory and honor to your name. I pray that this person will find comfort in your words. And Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for Good Life Radio Show. And thank you for Danny and for Suzanne. I pray blessings over their lives and over their ministry. And Lord Jesus, we pray for 2020, one day 2020. May it will all be about you all over the world, one day wherein the whole world will be evangelized. We're going to give that to you, Lord, leaving this at the foot of the cross, at the feet of Jesus. And thank you that there is resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful.
Susie, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us.
You're welcome.
Heartfelt words, miracle testimony from Susie Jennings. OperationCareInternational.org. My friend, hey, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, look, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. I believe that. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Susie Jennings, OperationCareInternational.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.